The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander from sunny San Francisco. I got to endure this for 3 seconds before this goes away. Kelly Bidlin back in Vegas at Circa Resort Casino at the VSiN Studios, high atop the world's largest sports book. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Yes, you look so much better with a nice shadow right across your face, you know?
Hey, thank you. That's the shot everyone says.
The shot was so gorgeous yesterday. Of course, we couldn't have that every day.
This is a throwback to the first couple days I was here, right? Where the first few segments... It's, by the way, not hot at all in this black shirt. Black shirt was not a good choice, I believe, is what they said in Anchorman.
Get a glass of milk and turn up the heat. You'll be good.
On the show today, we are packed. Will Hill will join us. Feel like I haven't talked to Will on this show in about a month. That's what it feels like to me. I think the last time I was here, he was off. Will Hill will join us. All of his bets, we'll keep him for a couple segments because I miss him so. Mm-hmm. Paul Sporer on Major League Baseball a little later. Nick Whalen, we'll talk National Football League, maybe some NBA thoughts from him as well. Toddy Wishnev, Major League Baseball, who knows, maybe some WNBA. I'm not sure what's on that man's mind. And a little later on, Kelly. And Kelly has decided to, you said you're moving out of the studio for this one. James Farah, Stephen Shalansky, they are the two creators or the two producers. I think they're both, right? They're creators
creative producers.
Yeah, of the Circus Survivor documentary. The quest for $18.7 million. I believe this is year three of the documentary. Do I have that right?
I believe you are correct. And we premiere tonight.
Premieres tonight. Episode one of seven episodes this year, chronicling last year's Circa Survivor and Circa Grandissimo contest. So they will be in studio and we'll talk to them about just how this has evolved. You know, do they still get charged up for this? Has it gotten old for them? You know, I'm curious.
Mm-hmm.
How many years can you do this before you're like, oh, we can't do this again? Or is it still as exciting as ever? We'll find out. Kelly doesn't want to be in the studio for it. So, okay, we'll find out. You don't want to be Moni in the middle.
It's tough with you on remote. Yes. Yeah. It's tough with you on remote. Okay. And then we got to talk to people. We got a couple mics. Yeah. Figure it out.
I mean, it might be
a disaster. Don't get me wrong. If something tech wise doesn't work or something, I might have to run out here. We'll see.
Oh, that would be awesome. You mid sprint, you just roll out into the studio. Tennis today. Let's start here. There were five plays for subscribers. VSiN.com/picks. The first one is in the books. It was a loss. Arthur Rinderknecht lost to Sebastian Baez in three sets. He was -105. So we started with a loss on the overnight. Three are going on right now. Mixed results. Alina Karaeva is down a set to Sinja Kraus. Alina Karaeva is a +147 dog. She is down a set. They are on serve in the second. Karaeva up 2-1. We'll see how that goes. The frustrating one, at least till this moment, was the Katarzyna Kawa +168 play versus Paula Badosa. Kawa 0 for 9 on break points in the first set, and Badosa steals it from her. And now Kawa has decided to finally get the break here early in the second set. So we'll see if this turns around. The biggest dog on the board is Roman Andres Bruchaga, who is +210 versus Nuno Borges. He is up a break. I mean, he's up two breaks, but it might come down to one break here in the first set. So we'll see how that evolves. The one that has not started, I don't believe it has started, Alex Molcan. He is a -130 favorite versus Daniel Altmaier. That is the only one that has not started yet. So we'll see how these evolve through the morning. But if you want to jump on some tennis, that's the one. Molcan -130 versus Altmaier. You were saying you were watching the ones in Austria. You thought it was beautiful over there.
Yeah, I think that's where old Roman's at. And I don't know. I can't remember who said this like in the past couple weeks about him, Gil. But I don't know how you make a bet on this guy or watch this guy and not hear what is it? REO Speedwagon, right? The Bruchaga, Bruchaga. I can't fight this feeling. That song, you know what I'm talking about?
Wow,
you know
that was impressive.
Was it REO? Do I? Is it REO Speedwagon? Is that who did that?
I think I can't fight this feeling. Okay. Is REO Speedwagon, right?
I kind of just quick googled it, but I don't know why I didn't believe the Google results.
Yeah, Bruchaga. By the way, I'm old enough to remember his dad played soccer for Argentina, Jorge Luis Bruchaga, back in the day. So this is his son.
Yeah, he's like, out there.
I'd rather sing REO Speedwagon.
The Austria, I was telling you about it, man. It was great. I don't know what little town they're in, but clearly it's like a little like ski town because it's right on the side of the mountains where they have the arena. And like you can see the ski resort and the passes up there and the runs. And then there's the golf course on the other side. So it looks like a cool town, whatever that is. We'll take the show on remote next year for it.
There we go. Tennis, Austria, we're there. I apologize to one segment of the audience for this, but I think we have to say this at the top also. There was this funny little LeBron James thing that happened last night. For those who missed it, there was a link to a scheduled live stream posted from the Miami Heat YouTube channel for the date July 27th, right, which is 5 days from now. This was last night, so it would actually be 6 days forward. The Heat posted a link to a scheduled live stream titled, quote, LeBron James introductory press conference with that date. And then the team spokesperson said, yeah, it was a mistake. We messed that up. So what was interesting, I guess, Kelly, the only thing I really want to say about this is in the age of prediction markets, which makes this even more sensitive, right? Mm-hmm. It didn't, like, that market really didn't move that much based on this. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, I was. Minus 164, oh boy. Apologies, 104. Minus 104 on Miami Heat right now. It's really small, fine print. Cleveland plus 230, Golden State plus 573, and Philadelphia plus 848. Yeah, I was, Gil, just because... Man, this has been moving every single day based on the smallest pieces of information. And I mean, at first I was just kind of surprised by that. But like over the weekend, I was like, man, I really wish I had Kalshi. And I was just kind of scooping up some plus prices because who knows how long LeBron's going to drag this out. This is like an interesting piece of evidence, at least, that I'm surprised didn't swing this market more. But yeah, it doesn't mean anything. You don't know. I mean, this could easily be just social media teams trying to get ahead of any potential work, right? This could absolutely be meaningless. It's this could happen, and let's be prepared if it does. So let's get this stuff scheduled so we don't have to worry about it when that time comes. I mean, it could just be that, or it could be something more serious. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? It didn't move much. That was just sort of the surprise there. And still no official word where LeBron James will play, in case you care about such things or want to bet on such things at a prediction market right now. The other thing, of course, the big thing in our world is the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox postponed yesterday because of rain. We knew that about 24 hours ago. We talked about it on the show yesterday that the Red Sox second game of a 3-game set with the Orioles was bound to be postponed, and it was. But today we have the old day-night doubleheader. Day-night doubleheader, by the way, the Red Sox 14-1 in the month of July on a 14-game winning streak after losing the first game of the month to the Nationals. The Brewers, Kelly, lost last night. So even with the Red Sox idle, it was not empty of good news. The Brewers lost to the Mets. They got blanked 4-0. So they remain 3 wins behind.
Okay.
Our beloved Red Sox. And by the way, the Red Sox with 2 games today, they have 10 games left in the month. The Brewers only have 8 games left in the month also. So even that favors our Bo Sox. But, you know, from our perspective, again, for the 80-1 play on most wins in July, you get a split today, you're pumped. Because then you will have won the series against the Orioles. That's why that first game, that dramatic win in game one, the 6-5 win, mm-hmm. was so big. Because if you split with the O's, because the O's were only, 3 wins back starting this series. But if you split today at a minimum, all of a sudden your magic number is already 5 with just, more than a week left, mm-hmm. more than a week left in the month. So a split is paramount today. But of course, the Red Sox aren't thinking about a split. They're thinking about history today, Kelly. If they win today, it will match the longest winning streak in the history of the Boston Red Sox, which is just, it's not like matching the longest win streak in the history of, I don't know, the Colorado Rockies. This is a team that has existed for 100. This is their 126th year. And only in 1946, when Ted Williams came back from World War II, did they manage a 15-game winning streak, 1946. So this would match that with the win this morning. By the way, if you're interested in betting on this game this morning, it's Dean Kramer of the Birds, Leaflet, going up against the Red Sox, Jake Bennett. Jake Bennett, Red Sox, about a minus 149-ish favorite. Last I looked, Jake Bennett, five straight. We're still going minus 139. Jake Bennett, 6 foot, 6 inches tall, five straight quality starts for the Sox, 1.22 ERA over that span for the season, 2.35 ERA. He's not quite that good with the advanced stats, but he's really not that bad either. 2.99 expected ERA, 3.03 fielding independent. Those are all good. Now, the xFIP is a little higher because his 3.83, because his home run to fly ball rate's a little ridiculous at 5.7%. But this is what the Red Sox are thinking. They, Kelly, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, probably not aware of our bet on them for most wins in July.
Yeah,
so they're just thinking about history.
Probably not. You know, you and I have talked about these markets for a long time now. The one that is kind of funny with this is how many times have you and I talked off air where it's like, man, if only you could just have the best month run and it didn't have to start at the first of the month and end at the end of the month, right? Wow, did the timing line up perfectly for the Boston Red Sox in the month of July with that.
Yeah. And again, this is a whole bunch of months frustration coming out at once, a whole bunch of close calls in the process. But we haven't hit one of these in a couple years. Houston Astros, June of 2024 being the only other time we hit this, but this would be monster at 80-1.
Let's go.
Day-night doubleheader. Let's match the record this morning. And whatever happens tonight, happens tonight. See if they can break their record after that. Coming back, season wins. It's a Wednesday. Win Total Wednesday next on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Circus Survivor documentary is back for another season, and this one's bigger than ever. Seven all-new episodes kick off every Wednesday, starting tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Episode 1 takes you inside the growth of the most electrifying contest in sports betting. Now with $18.7 million on the line and a massive new Grandissimo format, raising the stakes even higher. Follow the sharp minds and bold personalities who think they've got what it takes to go the distance. Whether you play Circus Survivor yourself or just love the drama of a season-long grind, it's much a must-watch TV, I should say. Check it out tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, and then every Wednesday night moving forward, the seven-episode run covering Circus Survivor contest from last year and Circa Grandissimo from last year. Kelly, I know I'm in it for 10 seconds at the top tonight, and that'll do it. Wrapped it up.
Nice. Where's the premiere party at tonight? That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's a good question.
Matt Brown's house? Probably Matt Brown's house. That's where everybody's
Matt Brown's
going.
House.
Yeah. I'm sure.
I guess we didn't get invited.
Everybody's invited, Gil. Everybody. Hop on a plane after the show.
Everybody's invited. This gentleman had his career boosted by the great Bill Simmons. It's Paul Sporer, everybody, from his lair somewhere in Austin, Texas. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer. He is the host of the Sleeper in the Bus podcast, does all his stuff at FanGraphs. Paulie, can you give us that story back in the day?
Don't lead with that. God. Yes, that is true. So he found the SP guide, which you did too. And he mentioned it on the pod, but he mentioned it. Like I don't even share the clip anymore. First off, I've moved on from Bill. Loved him in his heyday. I will not deny that and try to rewrite history. Not a fan of present day Bill, but also the person that he was on the podcast with is a renowned piece of human garbage. So I can't even really share the clip in good conscience anymore. Known dirtbag Jonah Carey. I'll say his name because F that guy and everyone should know he's a piece of human garbage. But anyway.
Yeah.
You made a comment about Cowherd in the break in relation to Bill, and I said, throwing stones from a glass house there.
That's right. Because I was telling a story about how Coward told Russillo once, I like Bill, but why does he have to be a bully? And Paul was like, oh, he's a bully too.
The irony, right? Like, I mean, come on, dude. But anyway.
Yeah.
Nevertheless.
Anyway.
I do owe a little bit of debt there because him mentioning the SB Guide on that podcast
for sure
was a huge deal for me without a doubt.
Yeah, that's great.
Absolutely it was because he was huge even at the time, despite who his guest was on that show. We all had that guest for a while. Yes, we did.
He had us all fooled, man. He really did. Go ahead.
Bro. Okay, let's get to modern day baseball. We're back from the break. Mm-hmm. First of all, do you enjoy the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game? Do you still get a boyish love from those events?
Yes and no. I got a real problem with it being on Netflix, though. A real, real, real problem with paywalling the Home Run Derby. Absolutely disgusting. I was lucky that I was at my sister's watching their dog, and they have Netflix. Not a chance in the world I would have bought Netflix just for that. Not only is it just ridiculous that it's paywalled by having to sign up for Netflix, but it also sucks, right? The production sucks. But the event was great. So it succeeded in spite of the production around it. Excellent combatants, you know, Jordan Walker rising up, beating Philly, Schwarber on Philly's home turf was great. Schwarber is awesome, and he takes that in stride. He wanted to win, but he certainly appreciated the greatness of that whole showing there. So the players made it good, as they often will or won't. The event itself, again, being on Netflix, massive, massive problems with that.
Yeah, I Jordan Walker had to hit six straight to win it. It was so cool. Awesome. If you had a bet on it, like those of us who followed Mark Borchardt did, it was awesome. And Vasgersian, our buddy, he threw in pre-flop. Did you hear that, Kelly?
At any point,
he had a pre-flop shout in there. Love that.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love Vasgersian. It was an odd collection of people. I hear you, Paul. Yeah. And I had Schwarber. How'd that work out? That didn't work out well? Cool. Oh.
So close.
You can't get a win place show like horse races there, so you get second place.
Six in a row. Good times.
So crazy. So Paul, famous. Pardon me. Famously, here I have the Red Sox 80-1 most wins in July, looking pretty good. But I also followed it up today by saying, "Listen, I think they are the greatest example of a team that once July ends, the schedule gets harder." They got injuries. We don't have a timetable for Crochet and Anthony, most famously. I feel like they're a team that is just going to be on the fringe at the end. And if they could squeak in to the postseason, I think they're actually going to be really hard out. And I love the way they're set up. Do you agree with that? Or is there another team in baseball, either American League or National League, which people sort of thinking about futures should actually look at and say, this is an even better example of a team that we don't know if they're getting there, but if they do get in, God help everybody else.
I mean, no, I think the Red Sox are that team right now. And obviously they've played themselves back into the mix so much. They were a team I had a really hard time kind of putting that nail in the coffin of because they were my number one seed pre-flop, if you will. You know, I had them as the AL number one seed. I really, really liked this team. I was like, why are they the worst team I've ever seen? This is insane. But, you know, you start piling it up months at a time here, and you're like, well, how do they get back? This is how they get back. But you can't predict that for anybody, that they're going to have a 14-game win streak or a 14-1 in 15-game type of run. You just cannot. So it was hard to see the way back for them. But now that they're here, they're back in the mix. Not every game is a game seven. My Tigers are still in that mode where every game is a game seven. So Fromber going 2/3 yesterday and not only tanking his outing, but then ruining the bullpen for today, yesterday and today, is a huge problem. Because I think my Tigers could also be that team that is dangerous if they get in because they have, you know, they have a legit ace. They have supplemental guys behind Skubal and they have a lineup that can be dangerous. But they got to get in, and they have to get to that 500 mark first before you really start there. But it is this Red Sox team that, like I said, from day one, I thought they were great. I did waver. I'm not going to pretend that I stuck by them the entire time. I thought there was a moment where I was like, they just suck. They had a bad year. We move on. But now here they are fully in the mix, and I'm with you, especially if Crochet comes back. Remember, they're doing this without Crochet entirely. If he comes back, that is one of the premium aces in the game. That sends him up to another level, and you have to think, you shouldn't assume anything with Breslow, smartest man in the room, but you got to think that they're going to go out and make some moves to supplement too. So, you know, I'm kind of curious to see what they do there at the deadline.
Well, that, I mean, that's the other question, right? So we're 12 days away from the deadline, August 3rd, trade deadline, which, I mean, the American League alone, do you have any sense of who's a buyer or seller at this point? Because even like the Astros, who won a couple games in a row, now I'm like, this is all it takes, right? If they just go on a little streak themselves, they're not selling, right?
They shouldn't be selling until the last second. Three teams, Angels, Royals, Athletics. Those are the only three right now that you can say they should be selling. I think we maybe need to start looking at Toronto. The fact that they made the World Series last year, it's tough. I understand to then turn around and sell, but they're on a lose three. They're a negative 61 run diff. I don't know that they can convince themselves. I know some people think I'm a delusional Tigers fan, and I get that. You know, there's a little bit of fandom there, but they're also a plus run differential and have been for a lot of this year, which is a premier indicator. Like, it's one of the steadiest indicators you can get. So if you want to say that an under 500 team has a shot there, they're the only ones doing that in the AL. All the other ones are sub a negative run differential, and that makes more sense that they have bigger issues in front of them. So I think the Jays are really on that borderline, another few losses in a row, and I think they need to start looking at selling off some pieces, not burning it to the ground and rebuilding, of course, because they made the World Series last year, but I think they could be sellers. And then in the NL, you got the Rockies, the Giants, and I think the Mets obviously have to pack it in too. The Mets, you know, despite as bad as they've played, they could facilitate multiple bullpen trades that could fundamentally turn bullpens around across the league. They do have a lot of really, really interesting relievers. They got Freddie Peralta, who I know just got crushed again, but I wonder if there's some Mets malaise there that if he got out, got with a new team, could get revitalized, because I don't really know why Freddie Peralta sucks so much. He's been terrible, though. I cannot pretend he hasn't been, but I'm not sure that he's cooked. And I do wonder sometimes if the malaise of being on an awful team, how that affects guys. We don't know, right? Unless they come out and say, yeah, I was in a bad headspace. I went out there and I was just kind of plugging away my four or five innings and being done. Unless we hear them say that, we don't know. But I am speculating that there is some of that with Peralta. And if he got out of there, could he really jumpstart a team as well?
All right. If I spot you, Braves, Phillies, Brewers, Cubs, and Dodgers as five of the six NL playoff teams, there are one, two, three, four, five, six teams within two games of each other for the final wild card berth. Pirates, Diamondbacks, Cardinals, Marlins, Nationals, and yes, the San Diego Padres. Who gets it?
Boy, you know, the real answer is, of course, we have to see how the deadline goes, but I'll make an answer right now, and I'm going to go with the Pirates. I really do think that they have the juice to do it. This offense is really good. They kill righties. They've been doing that all year, but now they're jumping up against lefties. They used to be kind of a lefty-righty thing where a lot of their strength came from the left side, so they weren't as good. The magic man, as Merlin Valdez has given them a premium batting on the right side. Brian Reynolds, of course, is a switch hitter. So it's mitigated the need of O'Hearn and Spencer Horwitz, who's on the shelf right now, and Brandon Lau to be great against lefties as three lefties themselves. So I'm going to go with the Pirates. They have an ace. Skeens looked better last time out. They need better bullpen, but that's what they can go and buy without going too far all in as far as chips. So I like the Pirates.
I know we're a football country, but baseball, man, is so great this time of year. Can't wait for the home stretch. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Paul Spohr, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. Glad to have you watching this show.
We're back, baby.
We're so back.
It's the greatest $1,000 you could spend.
We've grown almost $11 million in contest entries over the last 2 years.
Millions of dollars on the line for these people.
This year's a little different. A high stakes circus survivor.
I'm taking a big swing. I'm going all in.
This is where the money's at.
The premiere is tonight, the third season, the third go-round of the Circus Survivor doc, really recounting the amazing $18.7 million grand prize of Circa Classic, the Survivor Classic contest last year, and of course the debut of Circa Grandissimo. And to discuss the doc, which premieres tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, the two guys behind this, Stephen Shalansky and James Farah, gentlemen, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it. It's an exciting day for you.
Yes, a very big day. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you guys having us. And Gil, just want to come out of the gate, say thank you. Thank you to VEASAN, all the talent that's been on the show for three seasons now, 9.2 million, 14.2 million, and 18.7. It's been quite a ride. So thank you guys.
And listen, we got a glimpse there. Stormy Bonatoni, the lovely Stormy Bonatoni featured, the equally lovely Mike Somich there, Matt Brown serving as sort of narrator through the series. Let me just start with this. Has this continued to be exciting for you guys? Has this in any way gotten, you know, have you started to get used to this, or do you still take a step back and say, this contest is as amazing as ever and even better every year?
No, I would definitely say it gets better every year because the contest grows every year. It gets more dynamic every year. The news spreads, and every year we get to meet so many new people. I mean, part of the joy of all of this is meeting all the contestants, getting to know them, following them throughout the year, and then seeing where it boils down to the very finish line. So it's always a source of constant amazement, and it does get better every year for us.
James, I'm curious, was there a specific story in the last couple years, or maybe it's starting with the premiere tonight in season three of this, maybe it's one of these storylines this year, a storyline of any contestant that stands above the rest?
Yeah, there are several characters that do such a great job, you know, not only showing up and telling us their story and you know, letting us pull back the curtain a little bit, go behind the scenes with them, but there's so many characters that have amazing stories, right? This is life-changing money. This is, you know, the sweat is real every week. And to see that, to dive into that, particularly later on in the season, you know, you get through the holidays or you get to the holidays and if you get through it, then what's your story, right? Because as we know at Thanksgiving this year, I think it went from 900 down to 49 or 48, something like that, right? 49. So seeing that happen, your ticket went from $20,000 to hundreds of thousands of dollars overnight. And then, you know, that's when the story got good, if you will. So there's so many storylines, so many characters. We're just excited to roll this thing out, tell the story from start to finish. And, you know, like I said, pull the curtain back and really go behind the scenes of the show and of this contest.
There's so many little quirks to this. I mean, what's more amazing to you? The person who gets really far and decides not to hedge at all. I know we've seen that in the past, which is pretty incredible. The people who fail to even submit, have you guys ever thought to go down that road at all in any of this?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that. Maybe maybe next year we'll explore that a little bit. I mean, it's hard because, as you know, there's just so much to cover. And as the contest grows, there's more and more people. We try and cast as wide a net as possible to get as more contestants into the show. And then with Grandissimo, a whole nother complete, you know, huge element, a subset within the Survivor show that one day or maybe next year, we'll try and focus on the no picks and just see what the story is behind that, because that is a fascinating dynamic. I mean, it's crazy that this continues to happen every year, but it's, you know, it's one of the elements of the contest.
Yeah, it's incredible. So it airs a season one episode, excuse me, season three tonight, episode number one of Circa Survivor. The quest for $18.7 million. So this is its own standalone season. But episode one, 9 p.m. Eastern, where can folks see it tonight? Where might they be able to see it moving forward?
So we have some really exciting updates on that. Obviously on VEASAN, 9 o'clock tonight, as you mentioned. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on socials. We're also rolling it out on some other networks as well. NESN airing it today. In Boston, MSG, in New York City, Game Plus in Canada. So we have some really exciting developments and distribution updates.
That's awesome.
You know, so a lot of eyes are going to be on this contest and this season, and we can't wait to see the impact that it has on the 2026, you know, the quest for 20 million plus. It's really, really exciting to see.
And for sure. Can I also give a shout out? This is, you know, this is just for the body of work that you guys have done in two previous seasons and then in this one moving forward. But can we give a shout out to the late, great Dave Sharapan, who was a friend to so many? I didn't know him as well as others did. But I have to wonder that when you guys as documentarians, when you guys are leaning on folks to sort of be the thread that keeps this going, obviously the stars are the contestants themselves. But you do need, beyond Matt's very, very good narration of it. You do need people chiming in on things. Was there anyone better than Sharapan? Was he like your most favorite go-to guy in all of this?
Dave was our, Stephen can say something too, but on this topic, but Dave Sharapan was the absolute OG. He was the absolute best at explaining things, making people understand, breaking things down from a week-to-week basis from a dollar standpoint. Dave was the best. We actually have a tribute to him in this season, which means a lot to us. And Dave is sorely missed for a lot of reasons. Great guy.
Absolutely. He was fantastic. And he was such a bridge. You know, as you mentioned, Gil, he was a thread because he worked on the business side in the sports betting world. But he was also such a regular guy that everybody just embraced him. And he could explain things like nobody else. He could put things in simple terms. He was just fantastic. And he was so, you know, such a great asset for the show. And
his wardrobe. Talk about fantastic.
And his wardrobe. Yes.
What a character. And his wardrobe. He was such a great guy.
By the way, I had no idea you guys were spending some time doing a tribute to him, so I'm glad I brought him up. That's great to hear, because he's sorely missed by so many, and he was such a great part of this documentary. Derek Stevens, obviously, just making this the biggest contest there ever has been. I know as the world goes on now, there's whiffs of competition, but this is the OG, and this is the one that really set the bar. And he deserves all the credit in the world for this. Do you anticipate doing this in perpetuity as long as this contest exists? Or do you think you'll get to the point where it's like, oh, we can't do this anymore. It's been too many years of doing this.
That's a great question. We've already started filming for next season for, you know, the $20 million season, whatever that number is going to end up being, the quest for $22 million, $23 million, whatever it may end up being. You know, depending on the exact format, how many episodes we're going to do, exactly how it's going to roll out, we don't know that yet because there's no season yet. But yes, these first three seasons have been just a thrill, right? 9.2 million, 14.2 million, 18.7. You touched on it earlier. It gets bigger every year. We already know 2026 is going to get bigger. We're going to film it in some capacity. What we're going to do with it, we don't quite know yet. But we are, thrilled to be along for the ride. Derek, the Circus Sports team, the access that we get and the story that we can tell, all credit goes to them, because without them, there is no contest. So absolutely love everything about this project.
Yeah. I would say that, the show and the contest have become like symbiotic, because we released the show this time of year to help with get people excited about coming to Circa to sign up. This is the OG. You know, I don't care if any other, people are trying to duplicate it or replicate it. This is the OG. That's the best. We do think, and hopefully everybody who sees this this season will agree, the show is just getting better every year. So season three is fantastic. Of course, I'm a little biased, but yeah, we plan on continuing doing this. It may, as James was saying, it may take a different shape in season four, season five down the road, because we want to, at least keep it fresh to some degree. So what that ends up being, we'll figure that out along the way. But yeah, we plan on keeping this going, and keeping the contest going.
Last thing, because we only have 30 seconds left. This was the first year that we had Circa Grandissimo, $100,000 entry for a Survivor contest, for those who don't know. Were those participants more open, as open, or less open than the Survivor Classic contestants, would you say?
Totally depended, on the participant themselves. Some of them were all about it. Some of them came down on a weekly basis and filmed with us. Other ones said, no thanks. We'll kind of see how it plays out. What we did dive into quite a bit was the strategy of Circa Grandissimo versus Circa Survivor, looking at the picks, knowing that Grandissimo likely wasn't going to make it all the way to the finish line where Survivor traditionally does. So we dove into that in a good way and got some great takes from the characters.
Stephen Shalansky, James Farah. It's the Circus Sports Survivor documentary, The Quest for $18.7 million, premiering 9 p.m. Eastern tonight at VSiN and elsewhere. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gil.
Thank you.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Winners Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that'll put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contests for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners will also receive a full season Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. No telling if Kelly Bidlin will be in studio when you get said tour. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN. We get tweets. Beating the book, Andrew Rohan. He's got a 60-1 on the Red Sox. Most wins in July. Let's go, Andrew, and let's go, Sox. A little more than a half hour from now, 45 minutes from now, game one of the day-night doubleheader, Sox and Birds. Let's go, Sox. Las Vegas 514. They're going for their 15th win in a row, franchise tying. 15th win in a row, a franchise that is in its 126th year.
Can we talk more about that for a second? Just a second. Are you not shocked by that? That they haven't won 15 games in a row at some point? 16 games in a row, I guess I should say.
You know what? On the one hand, I want to answer yes to that. On the other hand, 15 is a ton of ball games.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
And you're talking about a tenth of your 10% of your schedule, right? At any point, it's almost exactly 10% of your schedule to, you know, it's like the Price is Right rangefinder thing. It's like to have precisely 15 in a row where you win all of them is still a pretty amazing feat. I remember that. You remember when Jason Giambi and the A's won 20 in a row that one year? I mean, it's just off the charts ridiculous.
Like,
didn't the Guardians, I think there were the Indians at the time, didn't they have some massive streak at one point?
Yeah.
These are really tough.
Now I'm kind of curious about, like, I want to know what's the shortest, what's the least amount of games for a franchise's longest winning streak? You know what I mean? Like, is the Marlins like five? You know what I mean? That's what I want to know. Is that it feels like almost everybody would have to be in double digits at some point, except for the newer franchises like you brought up, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna actually chat GPT this right now.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
And let's see what we come up with. Let's see. Yeah, the Guardians, the one I remember, Guardians won 22 in a row back in 2017. Let's see. I don't know. Here we go. Each MLB franchise's longest winning streak. You ready, Kelly?
Boom. Yeah. Wow, I see it too. From 2 days ago, the article by MLB.com.
From 2 days ago, I guess this was inspired by the Red Sox. The lowest is the Angels. The Angels have only had, are you ready for this, in their history, an 11-game winning streak at the most. That's the answer. Wow.
Wow.
Oh, and the Blue Jays, 11 five different times.
No, I see Marlins 9.
Oh, I haven't. Did I miss the Marlins 9?
Yeah, thanks. These aren't ordered anything.
You're right. By the way, the Mets 11 five times. I'm surprised the Mets have only had an 11 five times. You're right. But the Marlins and the Nationals. Well, I guess the Nationals goes back to the Expos, though. So the Marlins 9 is actually the lowest. The Nationals 10 is the next lowest. There's your answer.
And yes, the Marlins have done that. What did it say? Five times. The Nationals have done that five times. So, OK.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's 11 is a pretty popular number. Rockies did 11 as their longest also. But yeah, I mean, it's tough to put together more than that. I mean, that's a lot of games for everything to just break your way. Anyway, Red Sox, most wins in July, 80-1. If they get a split today against the Orioles, let's forget about the history. If they get a split, our magic number, no matter what else happens in the league, is five. Five Red Sox wins over the last 8, 5-3 if they get a split today, and we are winners. And of those remaining 8 games, 4 would be against the July worst Athletics. I was about to say Oakland. I was about to say Sacramento. I forgot. It's just Athletics. So there you go. Just don't get swept today.
Hey,
just get the record in the morning.
DraftKings is they waved the white flag, man. They're not posting odds anymore.
What do you mean?
There's no odds, adjusted, right, Dave? We got no adjusted odds for the month anymore. So they have officially waved the white flag and said, we are out.
By the way, before we get to Kelly's, tennis is complete for the day. We ended up with a heck of a day in the end. 3-2 3-2 that featured a +210 dog and a +147 dog. The winners being Burruchaga on the men's side, Harajeva on the ladies' side at +147. Also hit Alex Molcan as a -130 favorite. Those are the winners, and those came after the two losers in the overnight, which was Rinderknecht before we even got on air. And then the one that we probably deserved better on was Katarzyna Kawa, who went a ridiculous 0-9 in the first set on break points. And then I think I quoted whatever the rest was. It was just still a horrible break point record in that game. So another winning day in tennis, 3-2 with two big dogs. We'll take it every time.
We go,
Kelly, man. NBA.
Burruchaga. Win totals for me. Jazz over 35.5. Talked about that yesterday. And then today adds for me Rockets over 47.5 wins. Pistons under 50.5. Wins. Might be adding more, but going to wait for more books to post. Only Boyd here in Vegas with them up currently. One NFL futures ad for me, Chicago Bears over 415.5 points scored during the regular season. And then golf real quick. Outrights at the 3M Open. Tom Kim, 35-1. Max Homa, 55-1. Johnny Kiefer, 70-1. Ben Coles, 70-1. Top 10s on all those guys as well, and a top 20 on Mr. Maxwell Homa.
Yeah, and again, with tennis, remember, because all these tournaments are in Europe, the time zone is just not going to work out. So again, tomorrow's plays will be posted at VSiN.com/picks for Survivor, for subscribers, also for survivors, but mainly for subscribers is what I meant, on the website. And it pays to subscribe. Once again, VSiN.com/picks. You'll get all of them in due time. Anything that hasn't started before the show tomorrow, we will let you know on air. Will Hill on the show, Pirates today, +1.5 at the Yankees, game 2 of the doubleheader. Padres, -103 at the Braves. Phillies, Dodgers, over 9.5. Falcons to win the NFC South at +425. Vikings to win the NFC North, Homer, +510. Bills to win the AFC East, -125. Will came out firing today. Also hit that trivia question.
We are so
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, he did a great job with that. So far, Will Hill has been, we are in lockstep with division picks so far. It's kind of, he had talked last week with Dustin and myself about the NFC ones. I didn't know he added the Bills. So I might be liking his NFC picks, but he liked my AFC picks.
And you like the Vikings to win the division? You like that one?
If I had to bet a team today, it would be the longer shot Vikings.
Nick Whalen, host of Prop Points, which comes on here at the top of the hour in just about 7 minutes. Bulls over 24.5 wins, a bunch of NBA season win totals. Bulls over 24.5. Mavs over 34.5. Cavs over 48.5. Pelicans under 27.5 wins, and the Kings under 22.5 wins. I agree with him. It could be a long season in Sacktown.
Todd Wishnev, by the way. They just want to have a professional basketball team. That's what it feels like.
It's all they want.
Hey, just get one guy on the team that could score and yeah, light the beam.
Yeah. We get tweets of beating the book, Mr. Masterline. No one named Todd likes to be called Toddy. Trust me on that one. Oh, Todd Wishnev does. Trust me, he does. Las Vegas 514, yo, LeBron is not picking a team. He is choosing a new fandom to emotionally ruin. LeBron's next team logo should be a suitcase. Did I mention that I can't stand this guy? There you go. That's definitely not Chris Foster who tweeted that in. Let's see. Minky Monkey Man. Tend to agree with the numbers game staff that the original is better than the cover, but with respect to Roberta Flack and Lauryn Hill and the Fugees, Killing Me Softly is a bigger banger. Let me just suggest to all of you that the best version of Killing Me Softly is from Al B. Sure. What do you know about that, Kelly? What do you know about that?
Nada.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nada. And then Pat Monafort, because I read one of his tweets earlier about hard courts and clay courts yesterday in tennis. He said, thanks for reading that on air. My kids were stoked as a numbers game is part of the daily D-Gen daddy education. There you go. We're educating the kids in the car, Kelly.
That's great. That's great.
Reading his tweets. Oh, and then Tim Bowers, and I'm so glad that the documentarians that we just had on, James Farah and Stephen Chelansky, thanks to both of them for coming on the show. The premiere of the Survivor doc is tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Tim Bowers said, thanks for bringing up Dave Sherapan today. He was one of the best parts of the documentary, and I'm so glad to hear that those two guys thought to pay tribute to Sherapan in there as well, so we can look forward to that. as part of the doc.
100%. 100%.
Yeah. All right. And by the way, Game Plus, what did they say? They got some Nesson in there.
MSG. Yeah. Some regional sports networks picking it up. It's great, man. It's great.
Good for them. Good for them. We've done all we can do. Kelly, another bang up job. Tomorrow, Zach and Crack. That's right. Bill Krakenberger in studio, despite the fact that I'm here. Kelly will sit in with him as well. So be unscripted with the Crack Man. We will do that and so much more. Prop Points is next. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen, enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.